Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. We are in Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll focus in on verses 1 through 7. This is God's word. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In this passage, we are told something that is hard for most of us to process. Point number one: authority comes from God. Subpoint number one: all authority. Notice the enveloping words Paul uses. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. It doesn't say most of you need to submit yourselves to the governing authorities. No, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Why? For there is no authority except that which God has established. And then, because some people might not totally get that, he restates it. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So in verse 1, he repeats it twice. Notice that repetition. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. That's restating what he's just said. Why? Because it goes against what we feel. We all want to think that either we can be an exception or that authority is an exception. Okay? Either I'm not part of everyone or that's not part of all authority. And in both cases, we're wrong. God tells us we must recognize that there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. But there's something else we need to hear in this, and that is that those authorities and the establishment of that authority was intended for our good. God didn't put authority structures in place in order to make our lives miserable. God put authority structures in place because we need it. We need authority. We need laws. We need governing forces that have the power to enforce right and wrong. It's intended for our good. That's what verse 4 says. Look at it. For he is God's servant to do you good. That's the purpose. Part of that, doing good, is that the authority has responsibility to punish evil. If the authority doesn't do its job and punish evil, it's not doing its job to do us good. Furthermore, because authority comes from God, it should not make us afraid. This was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at a time when Nero was in Rome. Nero. He was a narcissistic psychopath. But let me just tell you, no matter who is in government, you and I need to understand all authority comes from God. And it's for our good. And it has the responsibility to do what God says. Well, why, if you've got crazy people at the helm, would you not be afraid? Because point number two is they answer to God. They answer to God. Authority answers to God. Suppose a parent wields their authority cruelly instead of graciously. Don't think God doesn't see. Don't think God won't deal with it. Suppose that those in government wield their authority unjustly. Suppose they show partiality. Don't think God doesn't see. Don't think God won't deal with it. All authority comes from God, and authority answers to God. God will deal with it. Look at verses 4 through 6 again. He's God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He's God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes also. For the authorities are God's servant. What has he just said three times? The authorities are God's servants. You think God doesn't see what his servants do? You think God won't hold his servants accountable? Well, he hasn't held them accountable this week. Well, just hold on. God is able to use injustice in order to accomplish good. God told his disciples they were to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. And guess what happened? They all clung together there in Jerusalem. Seemed like the place to be. How do you get people to go out? Well, persecution works. That's what happened in Jerusalem. God sent persecution. You mean God was the author of sin? No, God is the conductor of the orchestra, and he uses what people do under his sovereign plan. And the result was marvelous spread of the gospel because people got scattered all over the Roman world. So, well, it's not right for these kinds of things to happen. No, God's servants often mess up. How many of you would consider yourself a servant of the Lord? If you're a Christian, raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have ever messed up? Done the wrong thing? Okay, yeah, me too. Is God able to use our mess ups? You better believe it. Does that mean that it really doesn't matter, we can do whatever we want, it's all fine? No. It means we answer to God. And so do the people who are in authority. And therefore, we do not have to be afraid because God will deal with his servants. But here's the third point. We will answer to God for how we respond to authority. We will answer to God for how we respond to authority. In other words, if you say, well, I don't like that authority, I don't think they deserve to be in authority, I'm not going to obey that authority, you're in trouble. And not just with that authority, you're in trouble with God, because what does it say at the beginning of this section? Verse 2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. God will judge those who refuse to obey. If you do not obey, you will be judged by God. Not only will there be consequences in this world, but we're going to have to answer to God for how we respond to authority. What's our attitude? I gave an illustration recently about a child who was defiantly standing up to his dad, and his dad said, sit down. And the child refused, said, no. He said, sit down. The child said, no. And the father took him and sat him down and said, sit down. And the boy looked up and said, well, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Let me tell you, if that's your attitude, even though there's outward conformity, if you're steaming, just stewing, and totally frustrated at having to submit to the authority God has put in your life, you're in rebellion against God, and you will suffer consequences. You need to repent. You need to repent. The Bible says that's why we pay taxes, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. Out of conscience. So, we will answer to God for how we respond to authority. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us, that we'll remain faithful, and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, we will answer to God for how we respond to authority. Well, I'd say those were 3 nice points we got done pretty quickly. But that's not even all of page 1. Because what if an authority is misusing their power? In fact, sometimes authority figures are involved actively in the persecution of Christians just because they're Christian. It's happening more and more in our country. So what do you do? Well, one thing you can do is move. Matthew 10:23, Jesus says, if they persecute you in this place, flee to another. And you won't finish going through all the cities before the Son of Man returns. In other words, there's a big world out there. Another option is to simply endure persecution. That's one of the things we're told repeatedly to do. When the authority's doing the wrong thing, what do? Endure it. And rejoice, because it's a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. What else do you do? Stay faithful. Don't give in. Don't say, well, the government's saying we have to do this, so I guess we have to do this. No, we don't. I thought you have to obey the authority. Okay, I'm so glad that point came up. No authority can command what God forbids or forbid what God commands. If you remember that, it will help you a ton. Because whether we're talking about parents, spouses, employers, or governments, it's still the rule. If any authority tries to say you must do this, and God says, no, don't do that, you go with what God says. Always, every time, regardless of the cost. Well, suppose they're going to throw you into a den of lions if you don't obey. Well, that'll be interesting. It could be a fiery furnace. That's why we have the book of Daniel. It's not the only reason we have the book of Daniel, but those are two stories every child needs to learn about obeying God rather than man. But we want our children to learn to obey authority figures. Yeah, but we don't want our kids getting molested. And we don't want our kids believing lies, even if teachers espouse them. And we don't want our kids to believe a government that now makes it impossible for university students to tell a 5'9" white guy that he's not a 6'5" Asian woman. If you haven't seen that video, you need to watch it. Just look for it on YouTube. We now have a climate in American universities where if a 5'9" white guy says he is a 6'5" Chinese woman, well, I would want to discuss with you how you came to that conclusion, but I'm really not in a position to say you're wrong. Well, I am. And you know why? I'm not blind and I'm not crazy. You understand? We're living in a culture that is so hostile toward the truth that people are afraid to state the obvious. The emperor is wearing no clothes. This issue of authority and how we deal with it runs all through the scriptures. Just a few examples I mentioned from Daniel, but what about Moses dealing with Pharaoh in Egypt? I mean, I would have wanted to go in, rally the people, and say, we're leaving at midnight, okay? Arm yourselves. God had other plans. And time after time, when Pharaoh said, no, you cannot go, they stayed until God brought Pharaoh to his knees. And Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. Then they went. That's not the way I would have scripted this, okay? Especially not if I had God's power. But you see, God is the one who will deal with those in authority because they're his servants. And Pharaoh was his servant for the purpose of displaying his glory. Through his rebellion, he provided a great backdrop for the display of God's glory. What about the various critics of Moses who were disciplined by God after the people left Egypt? In Numbers chapter 12, Aaron and Miriam rebel against Moses because they didn't like the fact that he had married a black woman. And so God said, oh, you have a problem with black people? Miriam, let me show you what white looks like. Struck her with leprosy. She was as white as snow and scared to death. She pleads for mercy. And God extends mercy, but not without discipline. And Aaron was in trouble too. What about Korah's rebellion? Korah and a bunch of the other leaders of the people rebelled in Numbers chapter 16. God says, I'll deal with it. I'm going to defend the person I've put in charge, which was Moses. Because Moses was submitted to God. Moses did what God said, therefore the people were supposed to do what Moses said. The ground opened up and ate a bunch of the people, those who'd rebelled. Wouldn't you think after something like that happens that people would kind of get the point? Instead, they came out and criticized Moses for the death of those people. Why? Because rebellion comes from the heart. It's not about logic and reasoning. It's not about looking at the circumstances. It's an attitude problem. And all of us are wired that way. And we have to die to it. What about David in dealing with Saul? David says, we're not to touch the Lord's anointed. That is often misused these days to say it's wrong to criticize false teachers. That's a complete misapplication of that text. But when Saul, who was crazy before David met him, and crazy before David married his daughter, Saul, who had been crazy for a long, long time, was chasing David and trying to kill him. And David was the Lord's anointed. Samuel had already anointed him. He knew he was going to be the next king. And twice he's given the opportunity to kill Saul, and he says, no, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Wow. Wow. Would you have that kind of restraint? If the guy who was trying to kill you came into the cave where you and your militia were staying and turns his back to you not knowing you're there and wants to use the restroom facilities, shall we say? Would you not think this is the perfect opportunity to put a spear right through his back like he tried to put a spear through me? God has delivered him into my hand. David felt guilty for cutting a piece of fabric off the edge of Saul's cloak. This is a guy who was able, with a slingshot and God's power, to bring down Goliath. And he finds himself unable to kill a psychotic king who's trying to kill him. Self-defense, self-defense. Everybody saw it. He's been trying to kill me. That's why he's here. David says, no. He's the Lord's anointed. That's why I'm not going to touch him. So God takes care of Saul in time. Not that day, but as we said earlier, Daniel and his friends did what God said and refused to do what a pagan government told them they must. Peter and the other apostles in Acts 5:29 said, you decide whether it's better for us to obey God or man. We're going to obey God. Paul before the Sanhedrin in Acts 23 verses 1 through 5. He's abused. The high priest called for his abuse, said strike him in the mouth, and so he was struck in the mouth. Not realizing it was the high priest, he said something very ugly to the high priest. And the others said, how can you speak that way to the high priest? He said, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was the high priest, or I wouldn't have, because it is written, you're not to speak evil of the ruler of your people. I don't think that's what I would have said. I would have said, the reason I said that about him is because he's a murderous demoniac. Would have been true. Would have been true. But he didn't say that. Why? Because the high priest is God's servant, not Paul's. And so Paul apologized for his intemperate language and left the high priest to God. You know what? I guarantee you, Paul is doing okay these days. And the high priest, he's finding it toasty. So, this is not just in regard to government. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through chapter 3, God tells us that we must submit to rulers, Masters and husbands. That's what's in that passage. Seems a little unbalanced. Well, it's God's word. Go home and read it. Ephesians 5:21. We're told, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the basis of our submission to authority. And then the examples given have to do with wives submitting to husbands, children submitting to parents, and slaves submitting to masters. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives clear instruction to husbands about loving their wives and parents, especially fathers, about how to raise their children, and masters about how to treat their slaves. But please notice the submission in all three relationships is one way. The people who want to say that marriage is supposed to be egalitarian, a democracy, both parties get one vote, you can't find it in the text. Well, yeah, it says submit to one another. And then it gives three examples of what he's talking about. He's talking about wives submitting to their husbands. He's talking about children submitting to their parents, not parents submitting to their children. He's talking about slaves submitting to their masters, not masters submitting to their slaves. Well, isn't there any responsibility on those who are in authority? Yeah, there's a bunch, but that's not what that passage is focused on. The reason we're to be submissive to authority is because God commands it. And in Hebrews 13:17, speaking to those of us in the church, and this is not self-serving, this is simply God's word. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So does that mean that anybody who's in authority is just free to do whatever and everybody else has to go along with it? It absolutely does not mean that. It absolutely does not mean that. It does mean that all of us are in situations where there are those who are over us. All of us are in relationships where we have to figure out who the authority is. If you're the business owner, you have to deal with the IRS, the zoning commission, everybody else. I'm telling you, folks, you can't get away from it. The solution is a matter of the heart. All of us have got to recognize all authority is instituted by God, and it's for our good. And if you believe that and obey that, then you can live without fear. Because if they persecute you, you can rejoice. If they kill you, you'll be in heaven. As long as you're doing what God commands, then whatever people do to you, temporary, and God will straighten it out.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.